Hello, everybody. This is Andy Lopez, and you're listening to Don't Panic, It's Organic. Lean back, enjoy the ride, and let's see if I manage to do it right this time, okay? Take care now.
No sound.
Huh? Oh, yeah, I know I did wrong. Okay, guys, I just started off the wrong way. I have to go up here and share computer sound. I wish it was just be default, you know. Why can't I make that a default when I just turn it on? It's already on share computer sound. See, now I screwed up already. Can I start over again? Okay, fine.
Questions on your guard and he will answer true. Control your pest bumpers properly to hear your soil and make you laugh too. So don't panic. Oh, it's organic. No chemicals to make you sick. Oh, don't panic. Oh, it's organic. That nature intended it.
This is nice.
Because you want your
soil blended in here.
Help to diagnose what's wrong with the roses or trees.
This is the start of the vegetable garden. Last year I came here and we built these raised beds. And now we're in the process of putting stuff in it. You know, all different things have to go in it. So if you come over here, I'll show you, take a closer look at the raised bed, and I'll tell you what we put in it so far. Okay, so here we have a raised bed. Now, this wood here is untreated wood. What we did with it initially was, actually, we treated with the citrus, and I have the citrus here. I can show you what. This is the citrus that you want to treat your raised bed with. The citrus, it's just a basic, it's a pure clean citrus product, doesn't have petroleum distillates in it. And the way you treat the wood is you basically paint it on. After a while, it's just like this, it weathers and you don't really see any, you don't see this. But I'm just showing it to you now because this soaks right into the wood, see? And it protects the wood from carpenter ants, termites. And makes the wood last forever, and that'll eventually dry. This will dry, and it'll be just like the rest of it is, because this was done almost 2 years ago. We made them put the raised bed together. So that's one thing you do with a raised bed: never use pressure treated wood. Then the other thing we did was underneath here we have a wire mesh for gophers. We have two wires. We overlaid them, quarter inch wire, chicken wire, quarter inch chicken wire, overlaid on top of each other. That was laid down here for gophers, so gophers don't come up in here. And the bed is also, not your normal bed, because if you look, you see it's twice as big. This is the normal size of a bed right here, this little section here. But we made it twice as big. And this was made for a guy just like me, a tall guy, so he can reach into the center. If it was, you know, you were a short person, you would have to dive in to get to the front. So normally the bed could be made a little shorter. So this bed is a little bit bigger because, you know, it's like I can reach into the center, but most people, they can't. So the bed made a little shorter, not so big. Maybe half the size here for average person, but this is really a very nice bed. We use it all the time. Right now it's in the process of taking a little rest. We rotate the soil. We have all kinds of compost we add to in here. We add a couple of different types of rock dust to it. We don't have to have perlite or vermiculite, but what we do is we add potting soil, organic potting soil to it, because it's basically one big container. And if you look over there, you see there's a drip system that's hooked into it. It runs right underneath here. It'll water this. Actually, it's a soaker system. It waters below ground. And this is just starting. This bed here, we'll make it so it comes almost to the top. So this stuff here, it's just cooking now because we put the final bottom layer down. And then the top layer, we're going to add some more not so rich compost, because you don't want the bed to be so rich you can't plant anything and it'll burn it. But it'll be a mixture of potting soil. I like to add like a Samian mix, which is a really nice acid. You want this to be a slightly acid mixture. So you add too much compost, it ends up being too alkaline. And you want it to come up to about here. We're going to do that in one of our next shows. And then the top layer, this top layer will be some type of mulch. I like to use azalea mix, which is a really nice, clean acid for acid plants. We put that on top of the last mulch. And then we go back and we plant. There's two beds here, and you do at least two beds because you want to have one bed resting while one bed growing. This person here decides he wants to have them both growing at the same time, so that means they both have to rest at the same time. But if you rotate it, and I keep telling him he's just lazy because he has so much to do here, but normally what you do is in that bed over there, I would grow peanuts. I would grow sunflowers. Anything else, see, and let that grow that way. It's like a green manure. And then I would use my garden here, and then what I would do is rotate. I would grow the peanuts over here. Next, essentially, you have to take everything out, or you roll the tilia, or you turn it back into the ground over there. Let it decompose so that it's green manure. All the green food goes back in it. It takes about 2 or 3 months for that to happen. In the interim, you're using stuff here. And then when you're ready, you can switch. I have to admit, it's a lot of work. If I was to do both of these, I have them going all the time. And with these raised beds, you do is practice what's called soil rotation. But one of the things as I get older, I don't like to do any more work than I have to. So instead of doing soil rotation or even crop rotation, if you have the several different bed, crop rotation is good. Basically, crop rotation means that instead of growing tomatoes in the same box every year after year, you grow tomatoes over there, you come back over here, and then grow tomatoes over here, go back and forth, and tomatoes in a different bed. Okay, and the same thing, instead of growing corn in the same box year after year after year, you grow corn over there, you grow corn over here, you go back and forth. After a while, you are going to eventually, and you always have to continue that. If you do it that way, you have to continue to add compost and mulch to this thing because everything gets used up. If you don't, then you have to take a break. You have to take everything out, redo it again. It lasts a few years because the soil food disappears. As I get older, I've developed some interesting ways of doing this. One of the things you do is you bury worms, earthworms. You do a lot of earthworms here. Then you don't have to rotate the soil. The earthworms, which says multiply, will grow. And that's when the process we're doing here, we're going to be installing some earthworms. They're called African red wigglers. Just buy 100 worms, and they will just multiply like crazy. Just have to make sure they got plenty of drainage, since you're not using any chemicals. One of the things we add to this is coffee grinds. Lots of coffee grinds is going to be added to it. Coffee grinds is your easiest way to control slugs and snails. Just simple coffee grinds. And so we're going to... next few months, you're going to see me coming back here. We're going to be getting this garden in shape, and it'll be producing. We're going to videotape all the way through it from end, beginning to end. And this is a continuing process because this is something you want to do all the time. The person here basically, he has kind of screwed up a little bit. He went and bought a packet of lettuce seeds, and he dumped the whole thing. All of a sudden, he had all these lettuce growing at the same time, and that's not what you want to do. We're going to show you those things. Normally, you do about 10 lettuces every 2 weeks. You start them every 2 weeks. Now we have continuing soil. So we're going to work on this during the next few months, and then let's go take a look at the rest of the garden. And before we do that, then we're going to go and do my mad scientist segment. We're going to mix something together, and I'm going to show you how to mix my three favorite things together. We're going to be mixing the orange TKO citrus with this hot chili sesame oil. And then this is a natural soap. I can't really show you the label. We should have had it covered. So I'm just going to show you the back of it. Or maybe like this. See, it's a natural soap, okay? We're going to mix these three. Any type of natural soap will work. Any type of natural citrus product will work. And, of course, any type of natural hot soap. Any type of natural hot disease, that's the whole planet. It will be so don't panic. It's organic. No chemicals to make the earth sick. By the way, I forgot to tell you that you can call in and talk to me on the show. That's what it's about. I started to do some taping here, and I've done thousands of these videos, and I'm going to play them. I think it's a good way for me to explain to you what's going on, and show you what I'm doing. But what it's really all about is talking to you. So there's a number which is 888-627-6008. That's the number you can use to talk to me. Also, otherwise, you can use Skype too, I believe. I'm not sure.
because we're not actually using Skype, we're using Zoom. So that probably wouldn't work. So he gave me the Skype number, which is not, I don't think it would work. Maybe it can channel it in that way, but I don't know. So it's the 888-627-6008 if you want to talk to me.
Adult Panic! It's organic! The way that...
This is my business card. Figured out how to quite do this yet, because ideally what I should do is I should be able to talk and somehow lower the volume down. But when I do that, in essence, also lowering the volume of my mic and everything, so I haven't got it down yet. So when I tape it, it's why I should try to figure out a way to talk over the music or have the music lowered down, you know, when I do it. But basically, if you folks that are listening to the show, you're not going to see the graphics. And the graphics are part of it, you know, like this one says, I'm a natural arborist and I can keep your trees healthy. That whole thing, you can't tell it's there unless I read it out to you. So hopefully you're eventually going to come on board and watch the video version of it. But I just thought I would tell you guys that in the future I'm going to figure out a way when I tape the shows and do the editing to it to put my voiceovers on it. It's just going to get better. Watch. It says I'm an organic consultant. It says I do house calls, which I do. It says we do soil restoration. We bring the soils back to life. And we do soil testing. We do a wide variety of lab work from the basic biology. I mean, hang on a second. There it is. It's got basic biology package, essential biology package. I do the advanced biology package, mycorrhizal condensation, soil chemistry, compost and solid amendment. We'll test your compost out. We also do plant available nutrition in the soil. And then we do this various different things for diseases. So we can tell what different types of diseases are in your soil. We do what's called remineralization. So I provide minerals from various different rock dust sources. And of course, I practice permaculture and biodynamic. I tell people the best of both and my own blended in together. We'll be right back. have a live cam, which means that whenever I'm out on the job, you can see what I'm doing live by either going to my website, clicking on the live cam button, or on the on your browser or on your phone. And I've written over 20 books. The latest one is called Don't Panic, It's Organic. It's available through Amazon. Buy it through my website, but I'd rather you go to Amazon. But if you come to my website, there's a link that'll take you back to Amazon if you want to go back there. Or, of course, you can buy it from my website if you want to. But I prefer it if you buy it from Amazon, because it will help out to tell Amazon people are buying the book, and then they'll promote it too. And of course, follow me on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, invisiblegardener.com. Will, on the bottom of the homepage, has them all up there. And of course, check me out on YouTube. I'm sure you're probably watching it this way on YouTube. There must be other places I post it, but YouTube is my main channel. You can get to it through my website. At the very bottom, it will say YouTube. And members get to call me on the organic hotline. But right, by the way, at the moment, membership is free. Normally, there's $20 for a lifetime membership, or $55 if you get the printed version of my book. I've always had a book out to members who always get the book. The members, current membership gets you the latest book, Don't Panic, It's Organic. It's a $20 book, and then you pay for shipping, and then the $20 for membership. But right now it's free. The membership is free. You don't get the $20 book, you get the membership. But you do get the PDF version of that book and my other 20 books. Do all the music, by the way. Sorry about that. Looks like I got a little piece that I didn't get to cut out there.
Invisible Gardener, he comes to you. Questions on your garden, he will answer true.
By the way,
through your pest compass properly too.
By the way, the singing, Don't Panic, It's Organic, is done by my friend Jeff Garavoy. I had him do it for me. I think it was 84 or 85.
Hear your soil that make you laugh too. So don't panic. Oh, it's organic.
So this is one of the sources. This is one of the rock dust that we're going to be using. Rock dust is different from different sources around the world because of, you know, the structure of the earth and so forth and what it went to make. Like, if you have a volcanic activity, it's different than underground thermal. This particular one was underground thermal. It happens to be right next door to a hot mud bath place. The heat joins things together, breaks down the minerals, and makes it very, very minerally rich. We also want it to be a very fine, actually a mixture. This particular one here has a mixture of very fine powder. At the same time, it has little chunks of rocks. These little chunks of rocks would take a long time to break down. It's the fine powder that we want. We want it fine because we want the bacteria to eat the minerals. Remember, we feed the bacteria first. And plants, number one cause of problems with diseases and pests in plants is a mineral deficiency. They're not getting the minerals that they need. Oddly enough, it's the same thing with humans. You know, you're not getting the minerals your body needs. So that's why we incorporate rock dust. You have to be careful with using rock dust. Like I said before, this is a neutral pH. Most rock dust have a very high pH of 8. That means you have to use very little rock dust to get what you need. Also, you have to be, you have to learn how to use it. Remember, it's trace minerals. You don't want to have too much because then it becomes toxic. This is nice. Okay. So here we have earthworm castings. As I told you before, this is the poo-poo of the earthworms. Not just any type of earthworms either. Usually it's red wigglers or night crawlers. That means that they produce a lot of manure. I don't know if you remember me telling you, but there's two types of animal manure that's the best on the market for making compost. The smallest, which is the earthworms, and the biggest, which is elephant. They're both very minerally rich. Earthworm casting is a pH of 5.5, maybe 5, very acidic. You always want to bring the pH down. You want to keep the pH in a certain range. This also makes an excellent tea to use because of the minerals. You make a compost tea out of it. So we're going to be adding earthworm castings. Let me tell you one secret about earthworm castings. Do not buy earthworm casting if it's heat treated. This particular earthworm casting company does not heat treat it. And the reason why you want it non-heat treated is because it will have earthworms' eggs in it. So that's an added benefit of making this mixture, putting in the ground. You will eventually get earthworms come out of it if it wasn't heated. If it was heated, then of course the eggs would have died. And it's still a good product, but I liked it better when it's alive and has the earthworms' eggs in it. Ooh, this is nice. Maybe I'll eat that. Okay? Bees like the coffee grinds. Esto es café. Coffee grinds. One of the best things, one of the reasons why we add coffee grinds to it is because this is a very acidic product. Again, you want to get the pH to be a certain level. So anything acid that you add to the earth is really very good, generally speaking. It also depends on where you live in the country, okay? So here in Southern California, so it's very alkaline. You know, we always are struggling to get the pH down. You may live in a part of the country where the soil is very acid. You don't want it to be any more acid. And one of the things about coffee is that it has, the caffeine in it, and it's a natural snail control, natural slug control. They do not like the coffee if you think about it. So we're going to be adding coffee grinds, and this is used. Once you use your coffee, save the coffee grinds, and this is going to become part of our mixture. You always want to be adding coffee grinds on a regular basis, whether you mix it together or whether you add it directly to the soil. If you add it directly to the soil, you want to turn it over and blend it in. Okay? So this would be coffee, café.
Okay, let's do that one again.
Another thing we're going to be adding, and remember I told you, this is actually making our own fertilizer. Very different than making compost, okay? So you know the difference between what compost is and what fertilizer is. Compost is a soil amendment with a bacteria, and the fertilizer is a food, fertilizer, fertilization. You want to feed the plants. So this particular product here is made from soybeans. It's a very, very high nitrogen product, because you want to have nitrogen. This is probably one of the highest sources of natural source of nitrogen on the market. Remember, organics are not usually very high in the fertilizers. The way organic system works is a little bit on a regular basis. Another thing about this is that all the really has some really good bacteria in it, which you want to constantly be feeding bacteria. So it's a great product to have. You have nitrogen and the bacteria right there. So all you have to do is bring it anywhere near the rock dust, see, and you'll find that there'll be a big reaction because the bacteria and the nitrogen here will just eat up the rock dust, eat up the minerals, will eat up the coffee grinds, will eat up anything we mix together. So we're going to be mixing this together with the rest of these to provide the nitrogen that it needs. So this is actually a 13-2-2, so it actually has some other things in it. Remember, this is just one source. There are many different other things you could use to get the nitrogen form. I used to use blood meal, so maybe one of our shows we do next will do something with blood meal in it or bone meal. There are lots of other sources of nitrogen. So this is particularly made from soybeans. Okay? That's it right there. Well, so we added the soybean powder. Now this particular one, it's the same thing as a soybean, but it's in a pelletized form. So it has a nitrogen, but more time release. You also want to put food in there that's released slowly over a period of time. That's why it's in a pelletized form. It also has endo and ectomycorrhiza, because we want to be adding a natural bacteria back into the soil. And this particular product has endoectomycorrhiza right over other bacteria, because you just don't want one form of bacteria, you want a wide variety of bacteria available. And this is time-released, made from soybeans. There are lots of different soy products on the market. There's also corn-based products that are on the market that are time-released. So this particular one is made from soy, but you can use almost any other time-released organic fertilizer that's available to you. You just have to look at the ingredients and make sure it doesn't have any other chemicals in it. It should be a natural product. Okay, so you want to read the ingredients. You want it to be a source of nitrogen. That's what this particular thing is. You want to have a natural source of nitrogen so that the bacteria have the food to eat, because that's what the bacteria does. We feed the bacteria with the nitrogen, okay? So that's the stuff. It's made from soybean. So now I'm going to add one of the final ingredients to it. This particular one is already blended in. It's a 13-13-13. It's one of the many products that I make. In it, you'll find seaweed, because you want to have anything from the ocean is rich in minerals. Also, anything from the earth. So this has a wide variety of mine products. You know, there's sulfur that comes out of the earth. There's a lot of mining operations. So like the rock dust, this is almost a form of rock dust included in here. It has the endoectomycorrhiza. You want it to have a good organic fertilizer in here. So it doesn't make any difference what you add to this particular one. Find what's available in your local store. Go to a nursery and tell them, I would like to have a good organic fertilizer. Read the ingredients. Don't want it with sewer sludge. You don't want to have other chemicals in it. If it says urea, you need to look and see what the source of urea is, because it's a natural source and a chemical source, and they keep trying to sell you the chemical source. You don't want urea in there. So it's just become a little bit of a scientist and figure out what organic fertilizer. If you can't get it nearby, you can go online and look for organic fertilizers. There are many, many good companies now that provide really good, clean organic fertilizers. No reason whatsoever to add any chemical fertilizer to this mixture whatsoever. So this is like a 13-13-13. Anything we add to this, you know, when we mix it together, it will really become a really good fertilizer, because we can technically use this by itself as a fertilizer, and that's what you do to it. You know, you give it a little bit on a regular basis once you have this mixture. But this is a much more complete blend that you can give to your plants. You can use it on the house plants. You can do it for the tomato plants. You can do it for anything. This can be modified a little bit depending upon what you're growing. If you're growing roses, you want it to bloom more, you may want it to have more potassium in it. Doing fruit trees. That's why this is a 13-13-13, which is general use. There's another product that I use is a 4-39-10, which is more phosphorus, makes it bloom more. So what you put in here, you want to think a little bit about where is it going, what plants are you feeding it for, and this is what you modify a little bit, okay? So this would be your organic fertilizer that we're going to be adding to this mixture.
Welcome back to Impact, your eye on our community. I'm Deborah Mills. Andy Lopez, the Invisible Gardener, goes to work with vinegar, a bag of flour, garlic, cloves, peppermint soap, and a bottle of Tabasco sauce. He may sound like a Cajun chef, but actually, he's one of the world's most respected organic gardeners. Welcome back to the program.
Hi. Funny you should mention all that stuff. Guess what I brought?
Did you bring me some garlic and some flour and stuff?
Yeah, all those things you mentioned. I didn't know you were going to say that.
You didn't. You read my mind. Well, What's in that bag?
Let me bring you some stuff out. Let's just grab something out here.
Okay.
See, look, that's sesame. This is sesame oil, sesame seed oil.
Mm-hmm.
Sesame seed oil is a wonderful tool for a lot of things. I add a little bit to water, a capful and a quarter water. Normally, I would like to just mix stuff in.
Mm-hmm.
You spray it on roses, for example.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Most bugs won't hate it. They won't eat, they won't touch the roses, but it also covers the rose, fights diseases. See, this is an oil.
Mm-hmm.
You know what horticultural oil is?
Yeah, so that's kind of replacing.
Well, it's the same thing, except it's got that nice smell to it for us, but for most bugs, they'll leave them on for caterpillars.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is one of the tools. It's very, very simple. Also for ant, great for ant control.
Could you also use this like for like aphids, like let's say you get an aphid infestation?
Exactly right. So what you do is you don't use it straight. One of the things you want to add to it is another thing I bought. Let me see if I can pull it out here real fast. Soap.
Mm-hmm.
So I use a natural soap. This is Dr. Bronner's soap. Been around a long, long time. This is peppermint.
Mm-hmm.
So peppermint is a nice smell too. So the soap alone, you can add a little bit to water and spray your plants or roses, spray it for ants, white flies, but add the two together. So you have a gallon of water, right? So you take a little dash of this, a little dash of the soap, fill it up with water, and spray. Mm-hmm. The trick is to learn how strong. You know, if you add too much, you're going to burn things. You're going to kill things, right? You know what I mean? Like, this is great for whiteflies. The soap is a wetting agent, but it's also, this is also an oil, too. It's an essential oil, but made from plants.
Peppermint.
Peppermint, right. Yeah. This happens to be a peppermint. Let me see what else I brought. This one here, for example, is chili oil. Mm-hmm. So the thing about this one is that it's not hot. The more hotter, the better.
Okay.
You see? In terms of, you know, bugs. Because this chili oil is even hotter. It's got peppermint in it. Pepper in it.
Yeah.
Peppers, right? So you spray down, you know, you use a little bit in a gallon of water, a little dash of soap. On any, from whiteflies, you spray around the outside for ants. It works on all insects, because it even repels. I spray it on my vegetable garden. I add it to water and spray without the soap, because you know, I go pick the vegetables you don't want soap. But this is great. You can eat it, and then the rabbits go, uh-oh. Let me show you something else. You know about garlic, right?
Yes.
This is garlic oil.
Oh, okay.
Again, it's another oil. See, these are oils. Oils are great to use.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for example, I use canola oil.
Yeah.
So I take canola oil and add it to the either the sesame, or I add it to two together, and I'll use that. And I'll take a cup of that in a gallon of water. I can spray it on the roses, underneath the leaves, kill some whiteflies. I can do it around the trails where the ants are at. Mm-hmm. The ants won't cover it. Well, it kills them because you spray it when the oil coats them and suffocates them. But because of the oil, it sticks around longer. The ants, when they come back, they go, phew, I'm not going to cross that.
I'm not going to go back there. Now, with these oils, when is the best time to spray? Would you say in the morning?
Well, the trick there is to remember, if the days are going to be like over 100 degrees, any oil, you're going to be frying your plants, right?
Yeah.
Or even just water spraying in that type of temperature. But so ideally, the best time is really to go out in the evening or at late in the middle of the night. That's why I got the name Invisible Garden. I would go out 2 or 3 a.m. at night.
Okay.
And do my stuff. That's when all the bugs are doing their things, you see? Mm-hmm. But early in the morning is good, but as long as you know the days and night, like here along the coast, no problem. But in the valley, where you have 100 degrees, you spray in the morning, you still have the oil on the leaves, they'll fry right up.
Yeah.
Here's another trick. These are oils. This one is cinnamon oil.
Mm.
You know what cinnamon oil is, right?
Oh, yeah.
One drop of cinnamon oil in a gallon of water will kill whiteflies, repel, and also kill almost any insect. So if you spray it on ants, kill the ants, cucarachas. They whiteflies, all kinds of creatures. And it's just one drop. When I was young, I put a whole bottle in the gallon, and it's like, right?
Yeah,
but you very intense.
Knocked yourself out.
Right, and this one here is called Irons TKO. You can open this and smell. This is citrus. This is very nice, clean, doesn't have petroleum distillates because, you know, chemicals. You don't want any chemicals. And isn't that nice? Nice and clean. But this is do the same thing. This is actually a cleaner. So it's a natural cleaner. You clean, you know, grease and different things. I use it around the house because we have kitty cats and sometimes you can't breathe because of the hair.
Yeah.
But a capful in a gallon of water. What I do is I like to add these two together, right? So then it has the citrus and the canola together, and you only need a little bit of this. And everybody has the whitefly problems, right? This stuff here will get rid of the whiteflies because it leaves the coating on it, leaves the oils on there.
Mm-hmm.
See, and the Wi-Fi cup for starters, they get stuck on there, right?
Yeah.
Kills them. Let me give you something else. Let's see, you can buy this in most stores. And this one you'll probably, let me see if I can do it for you, right?
Okay.
See if you can smell it.
Oh.
Yeah. Guess what
it is? Smells like Hawaii.
Right, it's vanilla hazelnut.
Oh, how wonderful.
So that's an essential oil that's been put in their cans, just like this. It's been put under pressure so you can do it, right? And and you can use this on spiders.
Mm-hmm.
If you have the ants in the house, you don't know what to do.
So all of these are good.
All of these are good.
We're
just
out of
eat
time.
It.
Again,
I know. I know.
For more information about the Invisible Gardener, check the website at InvisibleGardener.com. You're watching Impact.
Invisible Gardener, he comes to you. Questions on your garden, he will answer true. Control your pests, compost, properly to hear your soil and make your lawn too. So don't panic. Oh, it's organic!
no chemicals to make the earth sick. I don't panic. Oh, it's organic. The way that nature intended it. It fires you on your ticks, white flies and fleas. Help to diagnose what's wrong with your roses or trees. Setting up an alternate way to the disease. That's the whole planet. It will please, so don't panic. It's organic. No chemicals to make the earth sick. Don't panic. It's organic. The way that nature intended it. So for advice to help your plants, why not give them this way a chance? You mainly control all pesky events. You'll even teach you how to dance with them. So don't panic. It's organic.
Couple more radishes over here. I love radishes.
Oh, these are beets. Excuse me. Beets.
It's organic.
And some beets right in between the plants. A couple of beets there.
Oh, beets and strawberries, no good.
So then we'll put a couple of beets in here. A couple of beets over here. A couple in there. Move this right along. Couple of beets over here. We'll make this whole beet heaven. And that nice beet, 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 beet. There you go, beet. Where's my beet label? There it is. Put it right there. Beet. Beet. Okay, I'm gonna plant some carrots right in here. Just have a little row of carrots right in here. Another little row right here. Another little row right there. Take carrots. These carrot seeds are real tiny. See, real tiny. Tiny carrot seeds. Okay. See, real tiny carrot seeds. Okay, so we're going to take them and just sprinkle them right into this little bed right here. Carrots don't transplant too well, so you gotta stick them in right where they go. So this is gonna be a little carrot section. And you go back, like a little hair, like, you know, like a your scalp, and then you just pat them in. And there, this is your carrots. See? Carrots. Carrot. Okay, and then we're gonna plant some onions. I got enough room over there for onions.
So the quality on this, but one particular segment of the video was not exactly the same as the quality as when I taped it. So I'm not. So there's obviously something going on there. I'll work on that next time. Sorry.
It's water. A good food. All my good organic sprays that I make, might as well take advantage of it and give it to the plants. They'll love it. So I'm going to go ahead and hook up my little device and we'll get going.
Principal Gardener, he comes to you. Questions on your garden, he will answer true. Control your pest compost properly too. Hear your soil and make you laugh too. So don't panic. Oh, it's organic. No chemicals to make the earth sick. I don't panic. Oh, it's organic. The way the truth to your best company too.
Okay, so that wasn't exactly a good move from one segment to another. I'll work on it, okay?
Hear your soil and make your laugh too. So don't panic.
Just before we work on it, as you can see, nothing here. Clean, ordinary soil. You can see what we've done. Turn the soil over, added compost,
variety of good stuff. We got some more things to add to it, but basically just some weeding, cleaning up, and getting some rows together. And as you can see, I cleaned it up a little bit. I got another section that's still got a weed right over there, see? That has to be taken out. Basically, I just cut it up. Clay soil, so it has to be amended. Here are some things you're going to add to it. These are compost. This one over here is compost. See, this is compost it's going to get. And these are two different types of amendments. It's going to get to fluff it up the soil. This is basically a acid amendment. It's a kind of azalea mix. And this is another type of amendment. Now, normally, you don't have to buy these things. I happen to have them, a few of them already here. You can see the bags over here of these couple of different things. There's my own rock dust, which I use as my own blend of rock dust. And as you can see over here, another bag or two. Here's the rock dust that you would add to it. I'm going to add to it. It's my own blend of rock dust. But you can get your own rock dust from lots of different places. See, my rock dust, you can look and see, it's a blend. All kinds of bacteria in there, endobacteria. I add things to the rock dust. Compost, you can go to the farm and get some nice, clean compost. You want to add it to it, make sure they have no sewer sludge to it. So I want to take these three things and slowly start blending it. I only have enough maybe to do like one bed, so I'm going to go ahead and add it to the one bed, turn it over, and I'll show it to you again.
I don't panic. Oh, it's organic.
Okay, so I added rock dust. Basically, I sprinkled.
Okay, so another rough, what do they call it, transition. I got to get these transitions together.
A little layer of rock dust. See? Along each of the, onto each of the beds. See? A little layer of rock dust. Went on every row so far. Not all of them, because I'm going to have the garden halfway done. Okay, so those are them right there. Our compost, we should add as much compost as you can get your little hands on. This is just a start. As you can see, just a little bit of compost is what I have, and I'm going to add some more. Really covered the whole beds, but what we'll do is you're going to start a little bit at a time. You work with what you got, and then as you go, you add more and more and work on it. So I'll just show you the very beginning stages of it, and then we're going to add more. So as I said, one of the things we're going to add to it to try to fluff up the soil, good organic potting soil will work. As soon as I get some, I'm going to add it to it. But I happen to have this with me, coconut fiber. It's called coconut core fiber. This will make quite a bit. I'm going to have to add water to it, and then we'll blend it in with the soil. So there's two ways to apply this. One is you let it sit in water to take the pieces of it, and you cut it up, and you put it in the water, see, and then let the water soak it up. Of course, if you're an area rising like me, you can't really wait too much, so I sprinkle it a little bit in the top. You see, then I water it down, and I'm going to go back and turn it in once it soaks the water. But I wouldn't recommend that because it's very dusty, so wear a mask. A little left. In the bucket with water in it. And I sprinkle a layer on top, which I'm then going to blend in with whether I get potting soil or other topsoil. So I can use it to fluff up the clay soil. See? So there's a layer.
That was just another amazing transition.
Tomato. Another tomato plant right in there somewhere. Another tomato plant right over there.
Hear your soil and make you want to.
so don't panic. Oh, it's organic. No chemicals to make you sick. Oh, don't panic. Oh, it's organic. The way that nature intended it. Advise you on your ticks, white flies and fleas. Help to diagnose what's wrong with your roses or trees. Let an upper null turn away to the disease. That's the whole planet.
A very quiet transition. Basically says, all vegetables are grown 100% organically without any chemical fertilizers or pesticides. And the background has got all the different, it has the vegetable garden that I was just working on the previous shows. Again, I can see that the quality is not quite as good because either that or my vision is tricking me. But I'll work on that. I mean, so anything, any of the new stuff that we're doing should have a better quality. This just means these are much older than I care to think about.
Okay, so I added rock dust. Basically, I sprinkled a little layer of rock dust, you see, along each of the, onto each of the beds. See? Little layer of rock dust went on every row so far, not all of them, I'm going to have the garden halfway done. Okay, so those are the right there. Compost, you should add as much compost as you can get your little hands on. This is just a start, as you can see. Just a little bit of compost is what I have, and I'm going to add some more. Really covered the whole beds, but what we do is you're going to start a little bit at a time. You work with what you got. And then as you go, you add more and more and work on it. So I'll just show you the very beginning stages of it. And then we're going to add more. So as I said, one of the things we're going to add to it to try to fluff up the soil, good organic potting soil will work. As soon as I get some, I'm going to add it to it. But I happen to have this with me. Coconut fiber. It's called coconut core fiber. This will make quite a bit. I'm going to have to add it water to it, and then we'll blend it in with the soil. So there's two ways to apply this. One is you let it sit in water to take the pieces of it, and you cut it up, and you put it in the water, see, and then let the water soak it up. Of course, if your area is rising like me, you can't really wait too much, so I sprinkle it a little bit in the top. You see, then I water it down, and I'm going to go back and turn it in once it soaks the water. But I wouldn't recommend that because it's very dusty, so wear a mask. A bit left in the bucket with water in it. Yeah, I sprinkle the layer on top, which I'm then going to blend in with whether I get potting soil or other topsoil. So I can use it to fluff up the clay soil, see? So there's a layer of it.
I think I'm having deja vu. I think I did this one already. Somehow I must have just done two of them. I think.
Tomato?
Maybe I was maybe I've
another
been working
tomato plant
much.
Right in there somewhere. Another tomato plant right over there.
Hear your soil and make you laugh too. So don't panic. Oh, it's organic. No chemicals to make you sick. Oh, don't panic. Oh, it's organic. The way that nature intended it. it buzz you on your ticks, white flies and fleas. Help to diagnose what's wrong with your roses or trees. Set up an alternative way to the disease. That's the whole planet.
Today we're going to be applying rock dust. During the winter time, good time to apply rock dust. We live in Southern California, no snow, good time to apply rock dust. So we're using one of my favorite type of rock dust, it's called azomite. This is a pelletized one called granular. And then I also have, it's quite a mixture. You'll see it in here. So this is a mixture of different types of rock dust, because the ideal scenario is you want to be using different sources of minerals. So in this particular mineral batch that I have right here, there's probably about five or six different types of rock dust. It's got gypsum in it. It's got soft rock phosphate in it. It has this particular type of azomite in it. It has a couple other different types of rock dust in it. Gypsum, if I mentioned that, in it. So they're all pelletized because it's a lot easier to apply. And that's what we're going to be putting down today. So now if I could just find Jeff, where he's at.
Together. I kind of figured it'd be obvious, you know, because you blend it all together. And you give everybody a little bit. And it's the same thing with the rock dust. Right here I have five different types of rock dust. This actually, around the world, it could be hundreds because they're from certain places. You know, there's this stuff that's from Colorado, you see, and there's this stuff from, let's see, where is this stuff? Ozarks, okay? And this stuff over here is from Minnesota. and this stuff right over here is from Southern California. And this stuff over here is a blend of different things from around the world. So I like to guess, the point is, these things are rich in different minerals and deficient in other minerals. And so when you blend together, you get a nice blend of minerals. Because that's why you do the rock dust. So I'm going to go and cover some of these different ones that we have here for you and tell you a little bit about them, okay? So we'll look at that one first over there, Jeff. Today, we're at the farm again, and I'm going to continue my talks about rock dust. You know, in the... all the things that are going on in the news now, you heard about it's called the ambrosia beetle. It's a beetle attacking, killing trees left and right. Over 250 species attacks. And then you know about the citrus canker disease and all these different things are going on. They all say incurable. But here's the cure. Here's the answer. Because if you avoid the problem in the first place, you're not going to get it. So that's why I talk a lot about rock dust. Because all these plants are having a trace mineral deficiency. That's what rock dust is all about. But rock dust by itself ain't going to do you nothing when I get the rock dust and the bacteria together. So that's why I also talk about compost. But today we're going to talk about rock dust, and I got five different types of rock dust and another batch which is a mixture of rock dust because, you know, rock dust comes from the different places that they're mined. We have some that comes from Colorado, the Ozark Mountains, Minnesota. This comes from Southern California. I have personally ordered rock dust from Africa just to see what it's like. Okay, right, so today we're talking about rock dust. And, you know, I talk a lot about rock dust all the time because it's minerals. Trace minerals is all about. This is a natural way. Actually, it's not natural. It is natural. It's not organic. When I talk about when I do things natural and organic, rock dust are rocks. They're not organic. They're natural. Is there an eagle coming after me? It's good enough for now.
In case you're just listening, this is just showing the different types of rock dust in their separate containers.
Oh, nice to stick your finger in there, and they're good for... No, this is called azomite, comes from Colorado. It's a very well-known source of rock dust. You see, this particular one is pelletized. They also sell in a really fine version. I like to pelletize because it's really easy to use and it does break down fast, but the fine does become available very fast. This is rich in a variety of trace minerals from calcium, iron, magnesium, and it's a very nice, even blend. It's not very rich in one thing or another, but it has almost all the exotics. Okay, so that's just called azomite. Pelletized, really nice. You can see all the different types of rock dust in here. That, I mean, it's the same rock dust, but different types of material that they use in there. See? Very nice. Okay? So this stuff here is called calphos, because it's calcium and phosphorus. The main thing that it has is 20%
phosphate for your phosphorus. And you see it comes in a pelletized form as well as in a little already ground up fine form. Very, very important. This is more important than almost any of the other minerals. So that's why I get it this way. And yes, it's a naturally occurring mineral. Okay, next. Another one. Totally different looking. It comes from the mountains of Ozark Mountains. Really rich in all the iron and calcium. It's 1% calcium. It has 9% magnesium. That's what I like about it. This is like a really natural source of magnesium. Okay? There it is, very dusty.
Okay? Now?
So this one is from Southern California. One of my favorites. This is 30% calcium. Neutral pH. All these other pHs, the only reason why they do them in pelletized is because they're way too high. The powder, since people burn stuff, as they make it pelletized, it blocks the pH that's so high. It makes it easier to use. But this stuff is neutral pH. You can't burn it if you want to. 30% calcium. And you know where it comes from? It comes from underneath the ground. In Southern California, they have a hot mud bath place. You go there and you soak yourself in this hot bubbling mud. That's what this is. Rich, 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 rich. Very, very nice. He doesn't make it in pelletized form, but this is the way it is. Very, very fine. Can be used instantly available. Calcium is the other thing that's very, very important for plants. So that's four types of rock dust right there, and there's one more type I want to show you. So this one here is actually a blend of about 10 different types of rock dust. This is my Municipal Gardener Special Rock Dust Blend, available on my website. Stop by today. I try to do a sales pitch. But this is what I do, is I blend the rock dust. Not only does it have rock dust in it, but I said you have to have the bacteria. So I put the bacteria in with two. All different types of bacteria, whether it's powdered or soluble form, fermento and mycorrhizae, all the good stuff, right in here. See, and then this stuff here, you add it to the soil, and you can also, any of these rock dust should be added to the soil, but you can also add a little bit to liquid, make a rock dust tea out of it. Put in a cup in a pantyhose, tie it up in a ball, let it sit. You know, these are about, 5 gallons of water, let it sit in there, and squeeze it a little bit, and within a day you have this nice little milky substance, liquid, and that's what you spray. That's how you get the rock dust onto the plants. And because it's also like a... rock dust is also a form of...
Okay, everybody, so I'm going to have to go. I'll be back again next week. Sorry to interrupt this. I'm going to have to make it 56 minutes instead of 60 minutes because I have to cut the show short at the end here because I need about 2 minutes. Turn the computer off, turn it back on again so I can log back into the cosmic spaceship. And you all should know how to get to it by now, but if you don't, you either go back to my website, if that's where you came from, you'll see Cosmic Spaceship link. Or if you're right there, all you have to do is change it from Don't Panic, It's Organic to Cosmic Spaceship at the address at the top of the bar. Or you can click on the search bar, Cosmic Spaceship. Either way, it'll take you to the new station because it's station 2, I think, on a different channel there. It's the same station, but a different channel, okay? So I'm going to go now. See you all later now. Bye.